Welcome teacher sellers to the Grow with Angie and April podcast. Angie and April are two full-time teachers pay teacher sellers who chat with each other daily about their businesses. They're opening up their conversations to help you grow your teacher store. Are you ready to listen in? Here we go.
For years, Angie and I have been committing to leverage YouTube for our businesses. We've come up with a lot of excuses, but the time has come for us to make it happen. Join in on the conversation about this in our mastermind group at growwithusmastermind.com. You can find the show notes and any links we discuss at growwithuspodcast.com. Hey, Angie.
Hey, April.
Are you excited that we are committing for the fourth or fifth year in a row to do YouTube?
Committing again. I'm excited. I feel like I'm closer than I've ever been to actually making a video. I'm trying to learn some like back end stuff, but you know, it is definitely challenging, but I know if I could get that first one done, I would be a lot better. So hopefully our guest today will convince me to get my butt moving even more.
Yes, I'm very excited. It's hard because, you know, in the past, we've always seen YouTubers that were teachers who were in the classroom. And so most of their content was about being in the classroom, which we're not. And so that's really discouraging because it just makes me think like, well, if I can't do a classroom vlog, you know, is anybody going to care about my content? So I'm very excited about today.
Yeah, I think that's my number one thing that is holding me back is I don't even know where I would record myself. So I feel like definitely not in the classroom, and I don't even have a corner. I need to find like a corner where I can set up.
Yeah. I'm already ready to record. I have no excuses. I have all the equipment and everything. I literally no excuse.
No excuses. So we're excited to bring on a guest to talk with us about YouTube today because we definitely need a kick in the butt. We have Susan Jones here, who is up to 81 subscribers on her YouTube channel, and she is here to chat with us today. Hey, Susan.
Hi, happy to be here.
Welcome, Susan. We're so glad to have you. I literally cannot believe how many subscribers you had when I looked this last time. It has grown so much in the last few months.
Yeah, I can't believe it either.
That's crazy. When did you start your YouTube channel?
So I actually started my YouTube channel in 2019. So that was my goal of 2019. So it's been three full years.
Oh, look at you doing the goal in 2019 when you set the goal in 2019.
We would know nothing about that.
So tell us a little bit about your channel and just give us some background info.
Yeah, sure. So the reason I started my channel was because I essentially had no brand awareness. I am notoriously bad at most social media. I just don't keep up with it. Putting my face out there and like talking to the camera or even like posting pictures of myself at the time was not something I was very used to or good at or even really kind of wanted to do, honestly. But yet I still had a pretty successful TPT store. So I figured, you know, I really wanted to work on that brand awareness and connect with my audience. And I noticed, similar to what you guys said at the beginning, most of the people that were on YouTube were in the classroom doing classroom vlogs. So I had always kind of written YouTube off. And of course, there weren't that many, and there still aren't really that many. It's still a pretty untapped market. And there definitely weren't people doing what I wanted to do, which was just be essentially a talking head is what they call it, and just sit down and talk about a topic. But I made a goal for myself, and I am, for better or for worse, I do follow through on these goals. And so I knew I was probably going to be talking to nobody for a long time, but I put myself in front of the camera and I made an extremely manageable goal of making very short, like at the beginning, the first year, I want to say I said I was going to make one video a week. It was called Susan's Sunday Spotlight. I was going to share a game that teachers can take and use in their classroom right away. And the video was only going to be roughly 5 minutes long. Most of them were like 4 minutes. So that was the only way I knew I could do it. So that's how it started.
That's awesome. And we see that you are putting out new videos now every Thursday and Sunday. How do you make this happen? And do you batch them? Or what's the easiest way to get them done so you can put out two videos every week?
Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely wouldn't suggest starting with two videos for sure. Like, a week is like the great, you just have to get used to it first. But once you get into your rhythm, everything gets faster. The editing process, the shooting process, it all just becomes easier, just like anything else in your business. So currently I do, for the last 2 years, I've been doing a new video every Thursday and Sunday. My videos are also much longer now. They're between, like on the low end, I always shoot for 8 minutes because that's how you can get mid-roll ads. And then on the long end, some are like around 15 minutes, I would say. And yeah, so I batch them all in the first week of every month. So my main, you know, revenue streams right now are YouTube, TPT, and my memberships. So basically each of those have a week every month. So the first week of every month, I batch all 8 to 9 videos that have to go out each month.
This is so smart. Like, I feel like I wish I could be so consistent with my work like that. Like, I just kind of do things when I feel like it, which is a horrible business strategy.
Well, I just think with so many moving pieces, because I have like different things I'm doing, it's kind of the only way I can get it done. If I wanted to, you know, with 8 to 9 videos, if I had to like randomly find time to pop it in each week, it would be way more stressful for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. So do you, can you schedule on YouTube the upload, or do you just go in and upload it when it's supposed to, or do you have somebody that does that?
Yeah, so my sister has worked for me for many years, but she for the last 1.5 years, I want to say, has officially dedicated her time to editing my YouTube videos. So she does all the editing right now, and she schedules them ahead of time. So she can do it kind of on her own pace, but most of them, they're always scheduled beforehand.
Yeah, you won me over with the, you know, hiring someone to do half of it.
Oh, yes. I didn't start that way, but oh, yeah, it's way easier.
So how long on average does it take you to make a video then? Do the actual like prep for it? If you could tell us a little bit about that process, like prepping what you want to talk about, having the resource ready, and then actually recording the video.
Yeah, so the actual, if I'm just talking about like footage, the actual sitting down and talking, I give my sister for each video, which is about, you know, on average, again, 10 to 15 minutes, there will be anywhere between 30 and 45 minutes of just straight me talking footage. And that is usually based on, you know, who's at my house during that day, what kind of mood I'm in. Usually at the towards the middle of the week, I start to hit, you know, I'm repeating myself a lot because it does get, you know, exhausting. So each video is a little bit different. And then, of course, it depends on the length of the video. And that's just for sitting and talking. I would add at least another hour to hour and a half to do things like B-roll, which is like me taking a video in the background of a resource being used to put up while I'm talking about it. Also to do things like setting up the camera. This doesn't include me getting ready, which really doesn't take too long, honestly. But then also making an outline for each video that I do. So probably about 1.5 to 2 hours just to shoot the video. I did ask my sister how long on average it takes her to edit each video. And for the type of editing we're doing now, which is much more involved and kind of more fun as we've grown with it for 3 years, it takes her about 5 hours to edit each video.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And I've noticed too, this is a thing that I think does really well on YouTube is having that like B-roll and having and being able to like show the resources, being able to pop up things on the video to demonstrate. That makes a huge difference, but that's a lot of editing. And it takes a person who's familiar, I think, with your resources. And because you don't tell her like, hey, put this in here. You don't have to give her a lot of direction, right? She kind of knows where stuff goes.
Yes and no. So first of all, I wanted to point out what you said is totally right. What I do is essentially, I mentioned this earlier, a talking head video, which is like notoriously the most type of boring video you can do on YouTube, simply because you are a talking head. That being said, there are ways, those channels, there's still plenty of them that are successful. And there are ways to, you know, make that more exciting, like adding B-roll, showing the pictures. I'll often do a screen share whenever I can. She does extras like sometimes in a video, I'll do a recap and she'll put up a chalkboard and like write things out with little chalk sound effects. Like you definitely want to keep the viewer's interest. But so she's familiar now with editing, but it does take her a little bit longer because she's not in the teacher field at all. And so even when she's been working for me for such a long time, you know, if I'm talking for 45 minutes about writing personal narratives, I might repeat myself. And like, I know this is a new take, but she doesn't know because it all sounds exactly the same to her. So I will have to, of course, watch that video back and be like, oh, wait, no, you have to cut out like minute, you know, 130 to 145 because I actually repeated. And she's like, that sounds exactly the same. She would have no idea because she's not in that realm, you know?
Right. I think that's the thing. Like anytime we can hire someone that has teaching and TPT or experience to do something, it's so much easier, but it's hard to find someone like that. And it sounds like your sister does a really good job. So it doesn't matter.
Oh yeah. We're totally in the groove.
Yeah. Hiring someone on Upwork for it, it can be a little bit frustrating because again, they don't have that knowledge.
Yes.
So Susan, when you're coming up with these, like, that's what I have trouble wrapping my head around is you're saying the B-roll, this and that. Like, are you planning ahead of time all that? Like, are you deciding on what you're going to film before you get started?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. So I have a content, again, that also, if I didn't do that ahead of time, I wouldn't get it done. So I for sure content plan everything out. And that has also evolved over the last, you know, 3 years. During that first year, again, I was just so focused on making it manageable and doable because without consistency, you just won't have a YouTube channel. So again, my question was like, okay, can I share 52 games this year? And for me at that point, I was like, yes, I share a lot of games. I have a lot of games in my TPT store already. That was like very simple. And we're talking games like how to play Four Corners. Like we're going like real simple. But they were still wildly successful because teachers wanted to hear about it. So that was my first year. I just shared a game each week. Then my second year, I was like, all right, let's start to pick this up a little bit. I knew I could definitely share more and start 104 videos a year instead of the 52. So I started continuing with some games, but then I went through my blog basically, and I was like, which of these blog posts can I so easily turn into a YouTube video, which was honestly the majority of my blog posts. So that was kind of my second year. I basically redid a blog post in video format. And then my third year, which was last year, I started, as I got a little bit of a following, I started answering questions that people would ask me often. And really, I started talking about my products and basically turning, if I have a, you know, number sense for K in one unit, I would make a number sense video sharing some of my favorite activities from that unit type thing. And then I also do some like seasonal videos too now as well.
Okay. I love the idea of planning 52 weeks at once and having like, okay, this is what I'm going to do and not really having to think about it each week.
Yeah. So I did that the first year was the only year I did an entire year at one time, because again, I made that goal of like, I'm going to do it this year. And if I didn't have it planned out, now I plan about a month and a half at a time, I'd say.
But it makes sense for that first year to like really just get yourself to do it. And I think that would definitely help me. So
yeah, I totally agree. And Angie, I'm going to skip your question just because this is related and we'll come back to it. But I definitely want to stay on this topic. Talking about you blog posts, that's a super awesome idea. But is there anything that you've noticed that has been really popular? Like, how do you figure out what kind of videos are going to be popular? Like, what topics do you have? Any sort of SEO that like program that you use? Because it seems like on your channel, like some get tons and tons of views, and some get like 1,000. And I can't figure out like the pattern. Have you been able to figure that out? Or
so what's interesting about YouTube, I have for like SEO in general, I have two separate, I guess, kind of answers. So like for this question, SEO for this way, like YouTube likes like content. And so what I mean is I don't know genuinely, and I still don't know what will get picked up on my YouTube channel. But I do know that once something starts to get picked up, and what that means is like I start noticing YouTube, they'll like pick random videos and be like, oh, this one's getting slightly higher views. Let me put it out more into the YouTube world. Like you can literally see it happening on your analytics page. And what I know is that if I see that start to happen, YouTube wants to see more videos like that from me. And so it doesn't have to be immediate. But so what that tells me is, okay, next month I need to add some more, you know, phonics based videos or math-based videos because they are favoring that on my channel right now. And over the years, that has changed a little bit. So in terms of like working with YouTube's algorithm, the first year I had no video that took off, you know, the first year, and that's normal on YouTube, unless you are creating like, I don't know, something viral or, you know, randomly happens. But my second year on YouTube, one video started to take off and then I made something else kind of like it. And then that started to go and now it's shifted. So you kind of want to work with YouTube. I'll put it that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I feel like, I mean, you can do as much SEO research as possible. It's even with blog posts, I find this. And then even it'll rank, but nobody will click it. Like it just, it seems like, you know, you do your best to pick topics, but you kind of got to see what works. So I definitely understand that. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there's no like outside, like for instance, like my science of reading video is clearly my top video right now. And it is a big topic right now. So I understand why that one did well. But a lot of my other videos after that aren't even necessarily related to science of reading whatsoever. And in fact, some of my other top videos are sight word videos that were not at all aligned to the science of reading. So it's like, once YouTube saw that that video was starting to take off, it started showing all my other ones as well that were related to a similar topic. So
it's crazy how some things just take off and some things don't.
Yes.
So tell us about the equipment and software you like for recording and editing, anything that makes it easier and quicker is bonus points.
Yeah. So for actual shooting, of course, I have a tripod. I do shoot everything on a Canon 80D. It's a DSLR camera that I just had forever and like used it for simple product photography. And I was like, well, this is like actually a really nice camera. I can do much more than just take little, you know, images of my worksheets. So I was like, let's use this. I do have a set of umbrella lights, but I usually use natural lighting. Just my office has that anyway, but at my old house, I didn't. So I have umbrella lights and then a ton of SD cards, essentially. So that's all I use to shoot. And I wouldn't, you know, recommend that anybody has to go out and get a DSLR camera because they really, really, really don't. But I already had one. So I have always shot on that. So I won't pretend like, you know, I shot on a phone first because I never did.
Yeah, I definitely have a super fancy camera that I don't use, so that would be useful now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I find a lot of TPers did buy a camera like this a while ago, and I'm like, oh, well, this is actually going to be good for video editing. So,
I did a whole course on setting up for recording your video, and it was great. You know, of course, I had to buy like $1,500 worth of camera gear. And I've used it for my live trainings. That's actually the only reason why I think I have 5,000 subscribers on YouTube, but it's only because I do my live trainings on there because we've crashed every webinar platform that exists. and for some reason, YouTube can handle like thousands of people at a time, but that's gotten me a lot of subscribers that, you know, I don't really publish anything else, but I'm like, I have this, it's set up and ready to go. There's just no reason for me not to, other than I'm just not prioritizing it.
Yeah, you have everything.
Yeah, I am way too, I mean, professional setup, I feel like. It's good to go. I made one video last year, was really proud of it, really exhausted, and then didn't make any more.
It is. That, I think, honestly, is probably the hardest challenge of YouTube. It is exhausting. And for the first year of figuring it out, you are honestly going to ask yourself over and over again, like, why am I doing this? Who am I talking to? It's just YouTube is such a long game and you have to know that going into it. There's just no other way to put it.
I think we're used to the long game with all the TPT stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think of it in a very similar way because once your video, just like a TPT product, once your video is up there, it's up there. And once you start making money and make a little traction, like it's up there forever and it's earning you money forever. Like, and it's just there for you to do whatever you want with. So it's great.
Yeah, I love that about it. But I, you know, I got 300 views on that one video. So I got discouraged and just stopped.
Yeah. Believe me, I get that.
How are you marketing your videos? Are you doing any paid ads or email list or anything? Tell us everything.
Yeah. So for marketing, I don't do any paid ads. I do have a pretty sizable email list that I email every single video. YouTube is essentially my main content channel now. So I don't write blog posts. I do YouTube videos and then I turn them into a blog post afterwards. And then I also, my sister makes quick, like 15 to 20 second clips that kind of summarize each video. And I share those on Instagram stories and Facebook. And then Pinterest, we also do. I have somebody that manages my Pinterest, and only for the past like few months, we've started to pin the videos. Honestly, they're not seeing too much traction yet, because also on Pinterest, you can only have like one verified domain, and that's my blog right now. But we'll see how that goes. But honestly, right now, it's not getting too much traction there. So you pretty much email is my email, and then just organic search on Google and YouTube are the biggest ways people find my videos.
What I love is you, when you put in a term in Google, it brings up YouTube videos on the top.
Right away. Oh yeah. I get a lot from Google. I get a lot of traffic from Google.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely worth it on that end. And I like the idea of taking that and turning it into Instagram content, Pinterest content, which we agree, like getting traction there is very difficult now. We complain about it in every single episode.
Don't get started.
Yeah. And email list too. Everyone always says, like, what do I send to my email list? So I think that's great to have something to send your email list. It's not super salesy, but you're also highlighting a resource in it, I assume anyway. So yeah.
Oh, I did realize I didn't talk about, when you asked me what like software and equipment, I didn't talk about editing. For editing, me and my sister, we don't have Macs. We're very much not Mac people. So we use what's called Filmora, Wondershare Filmora. And that is what I had used because I was completely self-taught for the whole first year. And you can go back and watch my first couple of videos. And it's hilarious because I don't know what I'm doing. Like there's super awkward like cuts in between. But that's kind of the fun of YouTube, you know, just like your old TBT products. You just got to start somewhere and then you grow. Unlike your TBT products, though, you can't edit these videos. So the embarrassment does stay up forever, which is fine. But we use Wondershare Filmora. It's like a very, very easy to use video editing program. And then for sounds, we belong to Epidemic Sound. I think we pay like $15 a month to use like royalty-free music and sound effects and things like that for our videos. So
awesome. That's super helpful. Speaking of, I know you've talked about having YouTube as one of your income streams. So I'm assuming that you do put ads then, because I know there's an argument over should we not have ads because we're trying to get someone to go to one of our resources, or should we do the ads and monetize? Right. Last month I made $2 on my YouTube channel. So I'm very curious about this.
Yeah. So, okay. So people do YouTube all different ways, right? Like, you know, like vloggers, for instance, even the educational vloggers, like they are going to make more money on their ads. And they're also going to make most of their money through sponsorships. I'm sure, I don't know if you guys listen to other like YouTube, you know, strategists in the field, whatever, but most YouTubers make their money off brand deals. Now, when I started YouTube, I kind of already knew I was not going to do that. And believe me, from like the weird emails that I get now, especially, I'd say after I got like 50,000 subscribers, you start getting emails all the time about brand sponsorships, and you can make a lot of money talking about really random things on your channel. But in a kind of like thankful way, YouTube doesn't make up such a huge amount of my income. So I'm able to be really, really picky. So in terms of keeping the ads in, like the actual ads on TPT, I kind of view it as free money. And secondly, when people come to YouTube, they like expect to see those ads. I've never had any kind of bad experience of people not wanting to see those ads or wishing I didn't have them. They're just kind of expected. So I did pull up some stats because especially it's January, so I had all my 2021 data out. So if I was to look at my ads only on TPT, it only made up 2.8% of my total revenue this past last year. But if I look at my ads, if I look at my UTM codes that went straight to TPT, just from YouTube alone, it made up about 10% of my TPT income. Like just people going straight to there. Yes.
Well, sold.
That's people that are being tracked.
Yeah. So I'm very data driven. I don't really do anything otherwise. So the ad money straight from, you know, TPT alone, I mean, from YouTube alone, isn't much to write home about, but it just feels like free money. Like, I'm doing it anyway. There's no reason for me to turn them off. And honestly, it's a good chunk of change. But then once, you know, once you add in that UTM codes, and on top of that, I don't have data for this one, but I run all my memberships on Kajabi, and I have three different ones. I have a math, literacy, and a writing club. They're all monthly memberships. And I stopped doing a open close enrollment, and I'm always open now because my videos on YouTube are evergreen. And any video in which I mention one of my clubs, I will get like a big little uptick or spike in new members and also just views on my page in general from it. So all that combined, it makes, you know, it makes the month a week very, very worth it. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's that strategy too. You know, you have the right thing to send them to. You've got the videos coming out. You're getting the traffic from it. Like, that's just amazing. I think, and even, you know, 10%, that's huge. And even 2% as your, so you said like 2% is what you get for your YouTube ads that are on your videos, right? So that's like 2% of your income. That's huge though.
It is. It's, I mean, yes,
you,
exactly.
You will make a small amount in your business. So 2% is good.
Yes, it is. Exactly. I mean, that's what I was like, you know, 10% even of my TPT might sound small, but like once you get into a certain number, like it's not like a, you don't just stop it. You know what I mean? You keep it going and you keep growing it and it's really good.
No, that just is, that's super motivating because, I mean, and just like anything, the more that you work at it and the longer you do it, more consistent you are, it pays off. And so I think that's where people fail is they just stop after they make one video. I'm definitely talking about myself right now.
Well, I can tell you it is really easy to stop. I mean, honestly, it could have been easy for me to stop after my first year, but there were like little, you want to make like little milestones for yourself. Because that's what like will keep you going. Like I said, the whole first year, it's kind of like, why am I doing this? My husband was just telling me last night of a story when like he remembers my first year and it was so stressful. It was a brand new field. I'd never done this. I notoriously wasn't good at it anyway, like putting my face out there. And I would just be like so stressed and crying because I was about to put a video up and I realized, you know, the whole video wasn't focused, or I thought I was filming a whole segment and I didn't even have my camera on. Like little things like that are going to happen.
That's definitely something I would do.
Yeah. And he even questioned, he's like, oh my gosh, she's so stressed. Like, you know, to get like 100 views a week, like, why are we doing this? But I was just so motivated and had my eyes on like the end game, and I'm so happy, and so is he, that I stuck with it.
Yeah, and I can look, like I'm looking at my YouTube dashboard right now, and I can totally agree with that because like 3 years ago, I put up some videos and they're horrible. They're like me doing a slide deck.
Yeah, yeah.
And like some of them have, like one has 23,000 views. It's from, actually it's from 2017. That's a long time ago. but it's just the topic. I think there's not a lot of information on, but that's crazy. If I had just kept going, it would probably, my channel would just be doing well overall. But I'm wondering if I can even keep doing those presentation type videos and teachers will watch it. Yeah, those are super easy because I don't have to really show my face, but I mean, they're not really YouTube style.
I will disagree that there's a YouTube style only because honestly, if you like look up, like viewers don't care. I mean, we care, but viewers literally don't care. Like if you type in on YouTube, you type in like how to, you know, fix a light bulb, you're going to see 900 guys named Bob with like at home videos showing you how to fix a light bulb. And they have millions of views. Like as long as you answer their question, that's all they care about. Like genuinely.
I'm the person who's like, I'll start the video and be like, oh, their audio is bad. Never mind.
I mean, I guess we'll say to an extent. So yeah, I mean, if you can't hear it, then we do have some problems, but.
I'm like super type A. So really like I want, you know, TV quality production value, but my kids are like really into like lava versus like toilet videos or whatever. They have 10 million views and it's just someone pouring lava they made into a toilet bowl.
Absolutely. I mean, think about Ryan's toy reviews. I mean, it's just a kid opening up. And if you look at his first videos and even sometimes now, he's just like walking around his room, opening up toys, do it like people just want to view it. They just want to watch it.
It's so crazy. Yeah. And I do think there is a place for educational content, presentations, teacher training. So I don't know, might be worth trying out again. But because I did one like talking head type video last year, and that one didn't get a ton of views. But part of it might just be topic based too. It's really the not knowing is what is stopping me from really going all in, I guess. I'm scared to fail.
I can definitely agree with that. And like I said earlier, though, you also don't know, like your talking head video right now, for whatever reason, might not be taking off and you don't know why. Like sometimes I'll put out a video that, you know, most of my email audience has asked me. So I know that they want to know this answer. And I still put out the video and it just like doesn't do well. But then 6 months from that day or a year from that day, all of a sudden it's starting to pick up again. And like, there's no rhyme or reason. I'm just like lucky that I have it on YouTube. And the other thing with that too is, with YouTube, while it being there is like great and it'll still be searchable, YouTube, if they see that you're consistent and you're still an active, you know, video maker, they will feature yours more, you know? So even if you have the video and it's just sitting there, it'll still do well in SEO years later if it's searched, but they will favor your video if you're like consistent and you're still active, if that makes sense. So it's both are important.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, consistency with anything that we do, it helps so much. So I can only imagine if we would be consistent with this, it would definitely be better than not doing it at all.
Yeah.
So we know people are going to ask, is there a good step-by-step YouTube course to help us get started or anything that you know of, or just you kind of did it all on your own?
I wish I could tell you I took a step-by-step YouTube course because I know that would be so easy and everybody would do it, but I honestly didn't take one. Me and my sister both kind of were self-taught. And what we did, I have two suggestions. The first would be see what type of YouTube content you like to watch, honestly. And it's not going to be the same for everybody, but for me, this is silly, but I started watching YouTube by watching like very goofy makeup. Not goofy, but they're actually really good at it, but like makeup tutorials, but they were essentially like talking heads. And so me, when I was watching them, I was like, okay, what types of things are they doing that are keeping me interested in this video? And I tried to mimic it in my own field. And then I do have somebody on YouTube who I love. Her name is Catherine Manning, and that's with a C, C-A-T-H-I-R-N. She's pretty big now, so she has a lot of videos. But if you go to her YouTube channel, she will have a playlist that's called All YouTube Tips. And I used to watch that as I was kind of like growing with her. She's way past me now, but she will share exactly how much money YouTube paid her, you know, when she had like 50,000 subscribers. So that's a good way for you to see, like, just from ads, how much you might make at 50,000 subscribers. She shares editing tips. She was just a really great down-to-earth person that I liked to watch. So she does have a ton of tips over there. And I kind of watched her videos at my own pace and just like added things as I learned them.
Yeah. We'll link in the show notes. But I already follow her. I just went to her page and I've half watched how to start a YouTube channel, beginner's guide, and understanding the YouTube algorithm.
Yeah. No, she is great. She actually, when we were talking about SEO, she is the one that told me about TubeBuddy. I don't know if you guys have TubeBuddy at all.
I do, but never learned how to use it.
Oh my gosh. So TubeBuddy is the best thing I've done ever for YouTube in general. So basically when I'm creating my like titles, I can type in the search terms onto YouTube. And it will, like, let's say I type in how to teach phonics, just as like getting an idea for my title of my video. It will come up on my sidebar. It will tell me like this red to green scale of if it is a consistent search term, how many searches it gets per month, and then a bunch of competing phrases for that as well. And then it also does the same thing for your tags. So it's so good in terms of like getting your video ranked on YouTube better, because you can actually see where it ranks you like in live time.
Yeah, I need to actually upgrade to the paid one because I can't see any of the data.
Oh, yeah. I want to say it was only like $9 a month, I'd say. It wasn't super expensive at all, but well worth it. And actually, Catherine Manning She has a video on it because that's how I heard about it and was sold right away.
Oh, perfect. I will check out that video because I just need to know how to utilize it. But it looks like Pro is $720 a month. And then if you have less than 1,000 subscribers, you can get half off that.
Oh, perfect.
So that's great. That's super cheap. There's like different levels. I don't know what the other ones do, but I assume you have like the Pro, the cheapest one, or...
I have whatever the cheapest one you pay for is. I don't think I ever upgraded anything because I haven't had to.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, it looks like if you pay for the year, it's $86.40. So that's pretty reasonable compared to some other stuff I pay for. So plus, if I buy it, then I have to do it, right?
I don't think that's worked in the past.
That's true. It hasn't. That's awesome. Okay, Angie, do you have any other questions?
No, I have a gazillion other questions, but I think I will go to Catherine to help me answer them.
Well, it's only 36 minutes. We could probably ask a couple more questions if you have any like burning questions.
No, I just my brain is just going crazy with like, okay, all the little pieces. Like I just have to get started and just kind of work my way through them. But, you know, just adding things like the buttons where it's like, okay, subscribe now to your videos and stuff. Like, where do you figure all that out? And like,
yeah, so you'll get a lot of that from Epidemic Sound because they'll have like images and stuff like that. But also, I'm telling you, go back and watch like my first four videos. I don't have any of that. I didn't know how to do that. So you don't have to have that to get started at all. You just tell people, like my video, subscribe to my channel. I would make sure you say it, but you don't have to have all those extra little things there. That is something that I so slowly added in.
Yeah, and I went to like Fiverr, I think, and I had them designed. They're sitting in a folder. And I just hired someone on Upwork when I did that one video and said, like, piece this together, do some transitions. Here's like the subscribe animation to add. And yeah, I mean, that's what I did. And it still seemed like a lot. So I totally get that.
Well, you really have no reason why you're not doing this. You are way more set up than I was when I started.
Yeah, I don't even know what my deal is. I'm like an all-in person, so I don't do anything like halfway, but I just for some reason didn't finish this, but I have everything for it.
You're ready to go, 2022.
Yeah, I know. I just need some sort of accountability and some sort of schedule. I think that's where the issue happened. And when I started this, when I did that first video, it may have been right before the pandemic, maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with some sort of excuse. So, okay. Well, what advice do you have for someone who's just getting started? Like one thing to really focus on other than just getting it done that will set them up for success, or any last tips that you haven't mentioned?
Yeah. Honestly, I think my last tips would be, you know, of course, like just be yourself. What I have found the most with YouTube is that it has been the best way for me to actually connect with my audience. The emails that I get are like insane. The comments, the emails, everything is just like so rewarding. And people have told me like they genuinely feel like I'm their friend. Like little, you know, same as if, you know, people that are on Instagram a lot or show their face and really connect with them a lot. But it has been the best way for me to just get my personality across, completely be myself, and let people either, you know, like me or hate me. It's up to them, but I just feel so at peace with it. I felt like I had, you know, made it when I got this email from someone who was actually forwarding my video to a coworker. And she said, you have to check out this video. Don't mind her voice. It's dreadful, but everything else, the content is so good. And I was like, this is the best email I've ever received. This woman hates my voice, thinks it's the worst, but yet still is forwarding my email to their coworkers. I was like, that's awesome.
Okay, I think your voice is fantastic. I don't know what they're talking about, but that is hilarious.
Oh, God, it was so funny. But yeah, just it's such a great way to make connections with people. And then, of course, for advice, it's just like I mentioned before, make it manageable. You have, like, don't overwhelm yourself with it. It's going to be overwhelming anyway, right? So make it manageable and set like really small goals for yourself. Like I remember my first goal was to, because in order to even get monetized at all, you have to have 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 watch hours. So I was starting from zero. So it took me a little bit to get my 1,000 subscribers. But once I did, that was like really rewarding and I could see the growth. And then I had to get 4,000 watch hours. And then I did. And then I could start making a little money. And then I wanted to keep going because I was like, at the beginning, you're making like cents. So I was like, well, let me do this for another 6 months and see how much I can actually make. And as you keep going, you make these little goals for yourself to celebrate because, you know, your first goal isn't going to be make 10% of my income because that's probably unlikely, you know?
Yeah, if that happened on the first video, everybody would be doing it.
Of course.
Yeah. That's funny. I know we're so used to putting in all the effort and having lots of failures and then having successes and stuff taking a while to take off. But for some reason, I guess we aren't trying with YouTube. So we are going to do it.
I overthink it way too much. So I just got to simplify.
Yep.
Yeah. So do you want to commit to something in front of everybody, Angie?
In front of the whole world of TPT people that are listening to us, I commit to doing a YouTube video starting with one.
One video. That's what I did last year. One video.
And then this year you can up it. So we're getting there.
I'm going to commit to doing one every 2 weeks at least.
I think that is a great goal. That is I should have said too, I know I do two a week, which is a lot, but YouTube doesn't care if you're only doing once every other week. I mean, if you're doing more, you'll grow a little faster, sure, but they just want to see that you are consistent. So I think that is so smart to start off like that.
Thank you. I think that's manageable. And if I can sit down and do a couple, if I can sit down and do two, then that means I'm done for the month. So
yeah, exactly.
Well, we could make each other accountable and send each other little gifts when we post the YouTube video.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay. Yes, I'm sending you something special for your camper if I see your video. Otherwise, you don't get anything.
Same. I will think of something special when I see your video.
Oh, Now I feel like I have to make one today.
Nope, you have to
wait. We really appreciate it, Susan. We have really, this has been on our list for so long. So having you come and talk to us about it and make it sound doable, it is so helpful. So we really appreciate it. I mean, there's really no benefit for you coming on with us. So you're just giving your time and we really do appreciate it.
Of course. I'm always an open book. People have messaged me before asking about, like, I don't know if you want to share like any tips. And I'm like, I'm the same as you. I started, you know, this has become like my little baby, but I'm always an open book. Ask me anything. I love sharing it. I would love to see more teachers on YouTube. Come join me. Let's do it.
Awesome. Yeah, I totally agree. That's why we do this. We always get people who are like, why do you spend the money to make this podcast, but you're not like monetizing it? It's like, well, because A, like we get to talk to other people and learn so much, which is why our businesses grow, because we are constantly learning. And B, we get to share it with other people, which is pretty awesome. Like, you know, back when we started, there were no podcasts. We just had the first like TBT conference, and you know, there wasn't a lot of collaboration. There were just starting to be like Facebook groups a little bit, but those helped us so much. So it's very, very nice to have all this information now. So why don't you tell us where they can find you on YouTube, on any other social media that you use?
Yeah, sure. Everything, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. I am Susan Jones Teaching. You can find me over there and you can root for me to get to 100,000 followers because I'm at 81 now. And I can tell you, my first year, I thought that would literally never be a possibility. It wasn't until this summer when I reached 50,000 that me and my husband and sister, like we all had a little party and we were like, oh my God, I'm going to get to 100,000. Like that's actually going to happen. That's mind boggling to me. So I'm so excited.
I feel like you have to have some sort of cake or balloons. Like, isn't that what? Oh, and there's YouTube sends you a creator award, don't they?
Yes, I'll get that little plaque. Oh my God, that silly plastic, whatever. I'm going to be so excited.
Hey, I live I live for those kinds of things. Like on Kajabi sends you pins, you know?
Yes. Oh yeah.
And so, you know, I got the last one recently and I was like, I'm going to make it, like, I'm going to get the pin. My friend's like, well, but the money is more, like, that's more important, right? I'm like, no, the pin.
It's just the silly thing, but it's just like this one little trinket or whatever it is that shows just how much hard work, like, it really, like, shows your whole journey. And it's so silly, but oh, it means so much.
It's so exciting. Yeah, I cannot wait to see you post your picture with your 100,000 subscriber plaque.
It'll be all Instagrammed out. I'll try my best.
Yes. Yeah. Everyone needs to go subscribe because we need to get her there. We usually get, you know, a few thousand people listen every episode. So it's on you guys. Get her there.
Oh, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Oh, thanks, Susan. We really appreciate it.
Of course.
Awesome. Well, we'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
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 That's it for the Grow with Angie and April podcast. Make sure to rate and review so that this podcast can continue to reach teacherpreneurs around the globe. You can find the show notes and more about your hosts at growwithuspodcast.com.